Couch Potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Cobb.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're back from our vacation, which was a week long.
We're both together. This is actually the first time you and I have been doing the show for 2 weeks, because you got all wrapped up in South by Southwest coverage 2 weeks ago.
It happens.
And last week was spring break, and what's funny is you and I actually saw each other because I checked out the Film School Rejects Southern Command headquarters.
Yeah, instead of going to your usual spot in Daytona Beach for spring break, you came here to Texas and hung out.
That's right.
So
they kicked me off all the Girls Gone Wild sites.
Girls Gone Wild girls were very jealous of your rack.
I don't have much of a rack. My rack has sunken all the way down to my belly.
Fair enough. Speaking of stuff... Top news story of the week, Kevin Carr is on Facebook. Look for the apocalypse next week.
This is what's so crazy, is a couple weeks ago I got an iPhone, which of course was a big deal to you because you'd been like, oh, iPhones, Macs are so awesome.
Because I think everyone should have an iPhone.
Yes, and so I got an iPhone, and that which meant I have to load iTunes on my computer, so I finally put iTunes on my computer. And the next step was, because we were on vacation, and... We're down in Texas visiting some friends in Dallas. It was not the Bushes. They were busy. We went to some other friends.
They couldn't put you in on their calendar.
Well, but they live like within a couple miles of where I was, because they're in Northwest, like Fort Worth area, which is where we were. Mm-hmm. And we were hanging out at a friend's house, and my wife's checking Facebook, and finally I go, okay, sign me up for an account. Mm-hmm. And she did. So I started going on Facebook, which means that I'm probably going to have to do Twitter again soon.
Right.
To start on Twitter at some point. But this is the thing. People, and this is, let me speak to the listeners of the show. Mm-hmm. I do have a personal Facebook page, but I also have a Fat Guys at the Movies Facebook page. Simply because, you know, fans of the show.
You don't want people up in your personal grill.
Well, part of it is that as I was updating my status, like one of my statuses last week was Kevin's driving across Arkansas in the middle of the late night listening to the radio while the rest of the family sleeps in the minivan. And I'm like, I really don't know if everybody needs to know that because...
Yeah, you just said it on the show, which I find hilarious.
Well, but I'm home now. I'm back at my house. Like last week, I wouldn't have said that because I really don't like... I'm not, if I'm doing a radio call like in Salt Lake City, mm-hmm. who cares? Because that's Salt Lake City. But I don't want people to be like, hey, yeah, Kevin's out of town and he's completely unreachable, so you can break into his house and get his stuff.
Yeah, because you also post your address online everywhere.
Well, you know how this goes. I do radio in Columbus too, and I'm real kind of, because you went last summer when I was on vacation. You like went on the radio in Columbus, and you go, "Oh yeah, Kevin's totally gone for the week."
Hey man, I was just trying to get people to rob your house.
Exactly. Fortunately, I don't have anything that's worth stealing except for some pretty cool DVD stuff that studio sent me.
Right, some swag.
Which
makes people want to rob your house more.
Exactly. Well, but so people, if you listen to the show and you want to, you know, friend me on Facebook, there is one for, again, you can tell because the picture on my Fat Guys page is my Fat Guy picture. And actually somebody said, he's like, yeah, I found it. And there was a nude picture of you. Thank you very much.
Nice.
So.
All right. Well, hey, if you'd like to be Kevin Carr's friend on Facebook, or if you'd like to not be Kevin Carr's friend and contribute to the depressing self-worth exercise that Kevin's about to go through with Facebook. There you have it.
Wow. So, anyway. Man, you're just like, you're like caustic today, aren't you?
A little bit. So before we get into other stuff, let's talk about where you can get a hold of our show. Not on Facebook, but you can also get us on fatguysinthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys in the Movies in iTunes. We come right up. You can call us, area code 614-388-8735. We've got a few calls that I haven't really listened to. And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, we will gladly accept your email. And
are these phone calls more like radiology people? Like, hey, calling from some veteran's hospital?
No, I think that guy finally died.
Probably so, because he didn't get his message to come in and get his insulin, or what Mr. Burns from The Simpsons would say, his insulin.
Yeah, well, the problem with those messages is they were so cryptic. Like it was like, oh, you need to come to the Veterans Affairs Hospital. Like they never left a callback number, because we would have gladly called back and been like, hey, this is the wrong number.
Yeah.
We would have done a public service, but unfortunately they did not give us the opportunity to do so. Therefore, that guy probably died.
So it's their fault he died.
It is. It's someone else's fault, obviously.
All right.
So what are we talking about?
We were talking about something that has nothing to do with movies. Let's talk about movies.
Okay. What's coming out this week?
Well, the first one is Fast and Furious. Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, a.k.a. the original parts, are up for a new model of car chasing.
You here to take me in, O'Connor?
Hell no.
She's my friend, too.
This is where my jurisdiction ends.
And this is where mine begins. What's to stop someone from telling them you're a cop?
The same thing that's keeping me from telling them why you're really here. A lot has changed.
You're right.
Now, there's a little bit of a problem with this movie is that Universal has chosen not to screen it to all but like major huge markets, like the top like 20 markets.
And
which
Austin.
Columbus is not one of. So.
Right. Well, I believe Austin either is or they were just trying not to incur the wrath of Harry Knowles because they did screen it here. But the film school rejects headquarters whiteboard must have failed us because we forgot. Like, we didn't write it on the whiteboard, therefore we didn't go.
Also, I think you were out drinking the night before.
Were we out drinking the night before?
You were out drinking one night not too long ago.
No, that was scary movie night. We had a scary movie night, and we weren't really drinking.
Oh, okay.
But I have no idea why we forgot. We just totally blanked and failed to show up to the screening.
So basically, they didn't screen it for me, and they screened it for you, but you said, I am going to be in solidarity with my brethren, Kevin, and not see it.
Yeah, I was supporting the boycott that is apparently going to happen.
So, I mean, so I didn't see it, but you know what? I have to say, I rented the original Fast and Furious because I, of course, want to understand the intricate subplots of the characters.
You've never seen the original Fast and Furious?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, my God, man. I'm a fan
of
the whole series. So,
well, now I have seen the first one, and I rented it, and it came at the two-pack, so it had Too Fast, Too Furious, so I got to watch that later.
Yeah.
And I'll watch Tokyo Drift at some point.
Actually, one thing that I would like to note specifically is that Tokyo Drift was directed by Justin Lin, who also directed this one, this new one. And that was personally the one I thought that was the best out of the first three. So I'm looking forward to this one to a certain extent. Obviously, I'm not looking forward to it that much because I forgot about the screening.
Obviously, you weren't looking forward to it at all. You're looking back on wanting to see it.
Looking back at the screening that I would have liked to have gone to, this guy actually has some talent for making a solid action flick. So, you know, that's a point in its corner, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it was... Yeah, but here's the thing. The bottom line, Universal's not screening this and a lot of things widely. And they're blaming it on the economy. I'm sort of blaming it on the films. They screened Duplicity here and there. And I went down to Cincinnati to see that. That movie wasn't that good. I don't think it tracked well, and it didn't do well. This one's going to get creamed by the critics. So I think if they have a big blockbuster tentpole that they want to screen, they'll screen it if they think they're going to get good reviews.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, honestly, you know what? The audience for this movie, they're going to go see it anyways. Doesn't matter.
They don't,
so
they don't care what fat, bearded critics have to say.
Whatever. Anyways, when we come back, we're going to talk about other movies. And we're back here on Bad Guys in the Movies, and as you heard, we got a little discombobulated there at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, we were totally not combobulated at all.
But, you know, we've been off for a week, so give us a break.
Yeah.
I believe, though, Kevin was giving it a preemptive suck.
Yes.
To Fast and Furious, and I was not because I missed the screening. So, moving on, time to talk about films that we have seen, I believe,
right? That's right. Whoop whoop.
Cool. We'll start with Adventureland.
No. Let's start with Adventureland.
What? Oh, I hate you.
I hate you too.
We're starting from Adventureland from Superbad director Greg Mottola. It's essentially Superbad in an amusement park. and as Kevin would describe it, without the comedy.
My estimate for the Europe trip was a little off.
I suggest you get a job.
A summer job.
Happy graduation, kiddo.
I'm amazed at how tiny my paycheck is.
We are doing the work of pathetic, lazy morons.
Please.
For those who think I feel. Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, we have a loser.
Party at my house tonight. My dad's out of town.
Yeah, I'm invited.
Yep. That's why I'm telling you.
Let's party!
What was that, as Kevin would describe it?
Because I disagree with that description. Well, I think there's some funny to it.
There is some funny to it, but it's not super bad funny. It's not that crazy. I think they're advertising with the director of Superbad, and they're trying to make you think you're going to get
right.
Superbad, and you're totally not getting Superbad with
you're
this
not.
Movie.
It's a very subdued film, and it's actually, there are some slightly, not. It's not like super dark, but there are some darker elements to it, some very real type situations
when,
that happen.
When it goes dark, it goes less comedic dark, where Superbad went
right.
into some really dark territory, but it was all really, really funny the way they
essentially there's no one drawing penises in this movie.
Thank you.
Which really will, I mean, that's why I can anticipate Kevin Carr giving it a bad grade.
What are you talking about?
There's no penises.
Okay, enough with
there's
this.
No good grade for Kevin.
Whatever. All right, tell me what you think. Tell me about your love of this movie.
Well, no, you know what? I saw this at Sundance, and I saw it again at South by Southwest, and I don't think it's a great movie, but it, you know, and the problems I had with it were it is very subdued, which I got over, because I think Jesse Eisenberg's a very good actor, and Kristen Stewart's is the same character in every movie, but I guess it kind of works.
Do you know what she does that bothers me? I think she's a great actor, but mm-hmm. like a lot of actors, she needs to be actually directed, and I don't think she is all the time, because this is how she delivers her lines for every movie. She's like, would you like to go get a hamburger? She like breathes at the end of every single line.
Right.
If you notice, now you watch a movie with her, and you'll be like, oh my God, she totally does that.
Yeah, so, and she always, she's playing with her hair through an entire movie.
Yeah, and stammers
again.
A little bit.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. I felt like they had chances to be funny, like to be a little bit lighter and funnier, especially with people like Bill Hader and...
he stole the show.
And what's her name?
Kristen Wiig.
Kristen Wiig. Yeah. I almost forgot Kristen Wiig's name, which would have been like sacrilege because she's awesome.
She is awesome.
You know, so they had opportunities to be funny. They just kind of missed... They missed those, but I don't think that's what they were going for. So you can't really blame the movie for being subdued when it was obvious that the movie was trying to be subdued.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, it's being marketed as the director of Superbad. It's not exactly the same kind of movie. No. I think he was just trying to make a more honest, potentially dramatic version of like that summer job comedy. And to an extent, it works. And in other... I mean, if you go in expecting it to be like laugh-out-loud silly humor... you're not going to get that. So buyer beware, I guess.
Well, there are two movies that it reminded me of in different ways. One, it reminded me a bit of Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist because it felt like that same thing. People,
well, it had kind of an interesting musical element to it.
Well, like, but it was like
soundtrack and
teenage, college age kids kind of not really knowing what they want to do, and they sort of swerve into each other and find a relationship. I mean, it takes place. This one takes place over summer. Nick and Nora's was over one night. So, I mean, it's not the same, but it's sort of. I think it's going to appeal to that same crowd.
Yeah,
is really who it is. It also reminded me of Nacho Libre because when they did Nacho Libre, the director whose name escapes me, of course.
Jared Hess.
Yeah, Jared Hess. He did Napoleon Dynamite, and this was his follow up to Napoleon Dynamite. And there's elements to Nacho Libre that looked like they were really trying to do Napoleon Dynamite again with just a different story.
Yeah.
But it didn't. But it was just missing something. And
yeah.
And that's what I felt with Adventureland. It looks like they're like, let's take a lot of the similar elements that made Superbad work, but
right.
it was missing. You know, it was missing the really funny McLovin. It was missing the Seth Rogen element and the Judd Apatow element. And so what you got was you got a super bad movie with a lot of that stuff removed, filtered out for Greg Mottola. And that was really his thing. And also Jesse Eisenberg, who I think's a great actor. I really felt like first day of shooting, Mottola came up to him and was like, okay, I need you to be Michael Cera in this movie. Because he totally channeled him. Yeah, I mean, he really didn't break out. And then it got a little bit sillier where I'm just like, this guy's a total dork and he's a complete D-bag. And he's got Kristen Stewart going after this totally hot chick in the amusement park. I'm like, that everyone wants is now totally going after him. I'm just like, this stuff doesn't, this is, it sort of swerved into this male fantasy that was completely unrealistic for the movie. So that's, I mean, it was a little whiny. It was very whiny. And I was just tired of that. It was sort of like the, you know, young, hip version of a Grey's Anatomy episode where everyone just whines about something and is sleepy with each other.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a kind of rocks because, well, my opinion matters.
Yeah, whatever.
And that's, well, I connected with the storyline where Kristen Stewart was going after him because I've had that happen before.
So you know, you connected with the fact that, because you've been in the situation where you're sleeping with a guy from work, right? And then you like,
wow,
this other guy.
Very funny. Anyways.
Wah, wah.
No, I'm giving it a kind of rocks because I did enjoy it. Like, it's not super bad, but I did enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it
you
a kind of sucks.
You can put that on the poster.
I'm going to give it a kind of sucks.
All right, moving on to a movie that, well, I can't wait to talk about.
Yes.
It's called Gigantic, in which Paul Dano from Little Miss Sunshine plays a 29-year-old bachelor trying to adopt a Chinese baby while he has a fling with Zooey Deschanel.
Who is this girl?
She came into the store the other day.
God bless capitalism.
Do you have any interest in having sex with me?
Mm-hmm.
You like her?
Yes.
You like her?
I don't know.
Meet Brian. He's recently started sleeping with my daughter.
Dad.
Brian's in the process of adopting a kid from China.
You get your Chinese baby on the black market for like 45,000 US.
It sounds kind of shady.
Does it?
Or does it sound awesome?
Let me start by saying...
Ding, 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 ding.
First of all, Zooey Deschanel's character in this, her name is Happy. That's annoying. That's very, very annoying. Why? Because that's like the 14th time that her name's been Happy or Summer or whatever. Doesn't matter.
She was named whatever in a movie?
Yeah.
It's, I'd like you to be my girlfriend, whatever. Hello, I've got big eyes.
I am sick of this.
Wow.
This manic pixie dream girl wannabe crap.
With all this hate and vitriol, you go straight for the name. That's weird.
All right. So let's also put this into perspective. First of all, this story makes no sense. There's plot holes. For instance, there is a character, a homeless guy, played by Zach Galifianakis, completely underused actor because the guy never speaks. Who, in the end, and I don't want to spoil it, is revealed to be something completely unlike what he really is. This reveal comes at the most inopportune time and is never ever explained as part of the story. And on top of that, once they get to this reveal, it makes the fact that Paul Dano his character is adopting a small Chinese baby even more frightening. Like, it makes it so ridiculous.
You know what would be
like,
even
oh
more
my god, I cannot believe this guy is adopting a child.
It'd be more frightening if he adopted a huge Chinese baby. It would be awesome if, like, they come and they go, and that would be great because it would be gigantic.
Yeah, so I felt like the ending was just so, it was so such a cliche, a filmmaking cliche. Like, it's just so open ended. We're just gonna let you figure it out. No, you need a story. Get a story and tell the story and finish what you start. It's literally like the director and screenwriter of this movie sat down and watched like all these indie love story comedies and was like, yeah, I could do that. No, you can't. I'm sorry. You can't just take quirky characters and put them into a movie and not tell a story and expect it to be good. Like, it is a craft to make a good movie with quirky characters. Go back and watch Little Miss Sunshine again.
Jeez, man.
All right, I'm done. This movie was terrible. I wanted to like it so bad because you know how much I like Zooey Deschanel and I'm a big fan of Paul Dano. This movie was awful. Awful.
Wow.
Offensive.
Wow. You need to get...
Totally sucks.
You need to get laid, Neil Miller. Jeez. You are
not the
mad.
Issue here.
You're angry. I thought it was okay. I literally watched it right after watching Adventureland, and I'm like, it's not great, but it's better than Adventureland.
I'm the other way, so fair enough.
Wow. So I'm actually going to give it a kind of rocks with reservations.
I'm giving it a gigantic sucks.
Okay. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk about some news and theater stuff.
Thank you. miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. If you didn't join us for the last segment, you would have heard Neil ranting. Is ranting? I don't think ranting's a strong enough
word. I was just expressing my the fact that I was so offended by Gigantic.
I think going thermonuclear with your opinion is probably the way to go.
I did kind of take the nuclear option, didn't I?
I don't think I've ever heard you go off that much on a movie.
Hey.
Ever. Ever.
No one treats my Zooey Deschanel like that and gets away with it.
Anyways.
So, moving on.
let's move on. I don't want to get you any more enraged than you need to be.
Right. That's what she said.
Let's talk about... Actually, before we go into the box office, let's just talk real quickly. What did you think of Monsters vs. Aliens since we didn't...
Oh, I liked it. It was fun.
Yeah,
Alex Billington from FirstShowing.net was totally wrong. He said it was like crap, and it wasn't crap, apparently.
But he likes everything.
He likes everything. Well, he's a Pixar... We discovered something very interesting about Alex. He's a brandist. Like, he is so loyal to the Pixar brand that he couldn't see that Monsters vs. Aliens was a solid movie. Like,
he was totally a champion of Kung Fu Panda last year.
I know, but that was just a farce. Okay. So, but here's what I liked about Monsters vs. Aliens. The one scene where, and this is early, so it's not a spoiler, before you people get all up in my grill about it.
Well, it came out last week, so you can't...
That's true. I mean...
If you didn't go see it yet, you're not that interested in seeing it.
So, the scene where Stephen Colbert, as president, goes up onto a ladder and boogies down in front of an alien robot. But also...
That's your favorite part?
Like, the little sci-fi references that they threw in, you know? Like, just... It was so loaded with stuff for the rest of us. It wasn't just a kids movie. And I thought that
Seen all the you get 50, not just the 50-foot woman, the Gill Man, and Cockroach, who was basically the fly.
Yeah,
there
he was
are
the fly.
Other little, smaller things that you references to other sci-fi movies.
To Close Encounters, where he gets up there and he plays the chord from Close Encounters. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I thought it was fun. You know what? And I've heard it's really good in 3D. I saw it in 2D, but I've heard
good. They didn't do it in 3D for
you
guys?
No, they screened it in 2D for us.
Awesome. And that's actually what's making all the news is that it did. So it was it's probably the first real 3D blockbuster this year.
Yeah.
Because even though Coraline did well,
it didn't make like buku dollars.
Yeah, this one made like $60 million its opening weekend, so we're sort of leaning into box office here. Mm-hmm. But the big news is that it's like made like half of its gross has come from the 3D theaters.
Yeah, which is very cool, because you know what? I think I wrote an article this week on Film School Rejects about 3D, because at Show West in Las Vegas this week, they're announcing all kinds of 3D movies, like Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland is going to be in 3D, Mars Needs Moms is going to be in 3D, everything Disney's doing is in 3D, even Tron, the Tron sequel. But there are also some very cool things happening with 3D. Like Thomas Jane is directing a movie called The Dark Country, mm-hmm. and that's going to be this like noirish thriller, like these two people going through the desert, and somebody's trying to kill them in 3D. And I think that's very cool. Like 3D it might actually take off.
Well, I think Monsters vs. Aliens, its box office proved that it's worth the money to upgrade the cinemas mm-hmm. and get more screens in 3D. And that's really what's been holding 3D back because, right. like, for example, Coraline was in 3D. Most theaters, there's a couple theaters around the country that have multiple digital projection capabilities.
Yeah.
But like in Columbus, which is, you know, where I'm from, there's like four or five theaters that can do digital projection, but it's in one house.
Right.
And so like when Coraline was there, and then when the Jonas Brothers concert opened, they bumped Coraline into the 2D screen so they can open Jonas Brothers, and then they've bumped that for the Monsters versus Aliens, and that's going to get bumped when whatever next thing Battle for Terra is that
right.
the next 3D movie coming.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, so it's basically saying, hey, it's worth $100,000 to upgrade a cinema so that when we have these big tentpole releases, which especially like Up coming out at the end mm-hmm. of May.
Which that'll be big because that's the first 3D Pixar movie, which I
first
think
first 3D Pixar. Well, and then they're rolling out the Toy Stories in 3D mm-hmm. and all that kind of thing. So I think that that's everything that I've read is that it's that Katzenberg was out there saying, look, I was trying to get people to upgrade for this movie and they didn't, and it still made tons of money. Imagine how much the 3D experience will do. And the reason I think that works is because it is for the first time, with the exception of like the largest screen you can see, it is the first time in probably decades that you can experience something in a theater that you cannot experience at home.
That's true.
Once they got DVD players and you could get the stereo sound and do a home theater, and then of course you throw in high def Blu-ray and HD DVD when that was out, you could wait, get a movie on and watch it at home, and it'd be just as awesome as if you were in the theater, because if you got these 52-inch or more TVs,
if you have a theater in your house like I do.
Yeah, basically. But you can't watch 3D at home, and that's the one thing. And that way, A, they can charge people more and get butts in the seats, because, I mean, like, my wife took my kids to go see Coraline, because I saw it in the press screening, and I told her, go see it in 3D. It's worth $3 extra per person.
Oh, it totally
because
was.
Because it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree. So, speaking of stuff.
Box office.
Box office results from last week. We just talked about Monsters vs. Aliens, $60 million. The Haunting in Connecticut, a little, I'd say this is a surprise at $23 million.
It did well. It did well for itself.
Yeah, and then so this week we've got
12 Rounds. Did that even make the top 10?
It did. It made it in at number 7 at $5 million.
Oh, wow.
So to that
did better than Miss. Maybe if they would have screened that one, that would have done well.
You never know.
Hollywood, take a listen.
So the weekend of April 3rd, we've got Fast and Furious in 3,400 screens, Adventureland in 1,800, and that's pretty much it for the major releases.
I think Monsters vs. Aliens is going to take it again this
year. You know,
week.
There's a good chance, but I will go out there and say that I think Fast and Furious is going to win, because there is a pedigree there. It is the fourth movie in a popular series, a very financially viable series, and I think it's going to make money no matter how good or bad it is.
But even if Monsters vs. Aliens drops 50%, which is a pretty big drop for that kind of a movie,
it's still going to make $30 million, which you're right.
It's still going to make $30 million, so I don't see Fast and Furious breaking that.
I don't know, man. I think Fast and Furious could make $30-35 million.
If they said total nude scene with Jordana Brewster and they put that on the poster, maybe.
Well, let's put it this way. Tokyo Drift opened with $23 million in June of 2006. It was a summer movie, but it also had nobody in it. Like, it had Lucas Black, the guy from Friday Night Lights, in it. And
yeah,
it still
not,
made.
You really don't think
million.
People are going to stampede to the box office to see Paul Walker?
And
you?
Vin Diesel, absolutely, I absolutely. Vin, do.
When was the last movie he did that did well?
Who?
The Pacifier.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. Battle on ID kind of bombed, man.
I'm looking
Battle
it up
on
now.
ID. Chronicles of Riddick was like in like 1972.
let's see. Babylon AD opened at $10 million. The Pacifier opened at $30 million. Riddick opened at $24 million.
But The Pacifier was his last movie, and it's completely unlike. I don't think he's
I'm
got
putting
his
it,
action.
I'm putting it around $30 million.
Okay, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Let's move on. You got stuff to talk about.
What, news items? Is it news time? Yes.
I think we can talk about news items.
Well, they're doing.
Wait, not that one. Do the other one.
We wanted to talk about Show West a little bit. They're doing Show West in Las Vegas. We're not there because Vegas is too far away. But
because we'd spend more money on strip clubs and hookers,
right?
We're not
allowed to go to Vegas anymore, pending several lawsuits and several criminal court decisions. So,
several dead hookers in the desert is what you're saying.
Essentially, several dead hookers in the desert is why Film School Rejects is no longer allowed to cover Show West.
Thanks, Robert Fury.
Anyways, they showed some footage from stuff like G.I. Joe. They showed, I don't know, some other stuff.
Did we get to see Channing Tatum act?
The biggest news to come out of that is that Sony Pictures is planning not only Ghostbusters 3, which we already knew about, but they're planning another Men in Black movie.
Oh, my God.
And details are slowly streaming in. We'll keep you updated.
Are they planning to make a movie that sucks as bad as Men in Black
2? I don't know, but we're following that story. We've got Cole Abias in the Situation Room currently following the Men in Black story.
I think Cole Abias is a Men in Black.
He might be actually trying out for the lead, the Tommy Lee Jones character. So, who knows? Moving on, Wolverine, the X-Men Origins Wolverine movie, was leaked online, the whole thing.
So you're saying that Wolverine took a leak online, is what you're saying?
It did take a leak online. It's a work print, so it's like 70% of the CGI is not finished on it. I mean, I didn't watch it. I don't support terrorism, so...
What are you talking about? What did Al-Qaeda leak it online?
They might have. Who knows? So, but it's kind of, you know, it's kind of an interesting deal because I know people like to hate on Fox, but I kind of, in this situation, feel bad for Fox because it's their movie being leaked online.
It's a work print, so there's no special effects, no sound mix, and temp music.
I would contend that it's not going to have any effect on the movie's box office. Like, who's going to watch this work print and be like, oh my god. If anything, it might help it because people online might watch this and go, oh yeah, this movie looks like it's gonna be really awesome when they put some CGI on it.
Yeah, because no regular person. I mean, if you talk like internet journalists like yourself, you're gonna be trying to find it, but everybody who downloads this and watches it is still gonna go see it in the theater.
Right. I don't think it'll deter people from going to see it in the theater. Like they're not gonna be like, oh, I saw it already. I don't need to go see it.
Yeah.
But also, it's an interesting... I think Devin Faraci from Chud.com made an interesting kind of connection that it's very funny that, like, we'll go to a press screening and they'll have, like, dudes with night vision goggles watching our every move. Yet, the post-production process is such a loose process where, like, DVDs are literally just passed around. You know, the guys that cut the trailers and the people that do the titles and, like, everybody and their brothers got their hands... on movies before they come out. Yet
all the pirated works come straight off of Telecine.
Yeah. So I think maybe Fox is learning a powerful lesson.
Let me ask you this because I'm not really following this story. Mm-hmm. What is the response that it's getting of the people who've watched it? What is the general? Is it like this could be a good movie, or are people saying this is going to?
It's too soon to say. Like it literally as we record now happened like 12 hours ago. So I have no idea.
Okay.
It's being downloaded a lot.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was purposely leaked just to get a little bit of buzz.
Oh, interesting theory, Mr. Carr.
That's my theory. I think we should appoint a special prosecutor.
You think that it's an inside job, very targeted inside job. I get it.
I think it's like when you see stuff in the White House and they're like, oh, sources leaked, blah, 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 and they're basically floating trial balloons to see, oh, if we were to make this decision, what would the public's reaction would be? The White House does it all the time. Why can't Fox?
Fair enough. And I have one more story as we get close to having to go to break.
30 seconds.
Megan Fox does not want to play a stripper. She's now turning down scripts where she's playing a stripper. She no longer wants to be objectified. It's not cool anymore.
Yeah, she needs to be doing that because she is qualified for nothing else in life.
Yeah, our official recommendation to Megan Fox is that she needs to start taking some of those stripper roles and not the Lindsay Lohan kind, the one where she actually takes her clothes off. So
I've got a stripper role. She can come into my house and do it personally.
Nice. On that note, time to go to break. We'll be back. Wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, we've
with a bow
with stuff. I totally blanked. What are we talking about? Oh, DVD roundup time.
It's like right in front of you, unless you're like twittering while you're doing this show.
I'm not twittering. So with that awesome transition, we would like to bring you our DVD roundup. And
still,
I'll start.
You know what's awesome about us is we still have the quality sound effects from the early days.
We're not ready to sell out and go get digital sound effects yet.
Yes.
We're keeping it very real. So, speaking of DVDs, speaking of selling out,
yes.
My pick of the week is a Slumdog Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
In which someone wins money. So that money sell out, you know. It connects.
Oh, okay, that works.
You've heard of this movie, I'm sure, cuz it won Best Picture and rightly so.
Yes.
So go buy it. Very Blu-ray is actually it's a solid Blu-ray because it's a really, really good-looking film. So,
Oh, it's brilliant. The cinematography is brilliant. So
absolutely. So, but I also wanted to mention a little indie film called Special with Michael Rapaport about a dude who's convinced that he's got superpowers, but he's just kind of delusional.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun. And then
I don't like Michael Rapaport.
Well, if you don't, then whatever. You're wrong. There's also Tell No One, which is a very scary movie.
Oh, is it? So, did you see? Was this a Sundance movie you saw?
No, it was like Sundance like 2 years ago.
Okay,
but it's finally out, so there's that. So those are my picks.
Rock on! I'm gonna rattle through a whole bunch.
Do what you need to do, man. I'm gonna go take a nap.
Marley and Me, awesome movie. Did you like that one?
I did. It was really sad.
Yeah. Well, it's the life of a dog, beginning, middle, and end. So, you know, it's a great film.
I love how you soften it by being like, it's the full life of a dog. No, the dog dies and it's sad.
It's the dog, everybody. This is the thing. If you're going to get a dog, you got to realize that 90% of the time your dog is not going to outlive you. So, there you go.
The dog's going to die before you are? Is that
dogs
what you're saying?
Dogs live 10, 15
that's
years
super
tops.
Sad, man.
That's the way the world is, man. So anyways, yeah, Marley and Me, that's out on the double disc set. Definitely worth checking out. Made my top 10 list. Also, Time Crimes. If you haven't seen this, it's
very cool movie.
Spanish movie about a guy who finds a way to go back in time to try to prevent something violent that happens.
You know what? The fact that you like Time Crimes gives you a little like clout in my mind.
Oh, really?
Like, you just got bumped up to like negative 17 on my respect level.
I was impressed.
From negative 18.
Well, and aren't they're remaking it. David Cronenberg is going to redo it. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. I don't think you could really remake that.
I don't know. David Cronenberg. If there's any American director, I think he's Canadian, actually. But if there's any sort of North American director who could do this, I really kind of have faith in Cronenberg.
Sure. All right, moving on.
I also want to give a couple shout-outs to some that came out last week because we didn't do a show last week. Quantum of Solace came out last week. Awesome movie. And a pretty awesome DVD, too. There's some really neat stuff in the double disc set. Did you get the Blu-ray of this?
I did, and it was blah.
Really? Was it just the stuff that was on the double disc DVD?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, overall, I mean, I would recommend buying it. It just wasn't that impressive as a Blu-ray.
Yeah. No. Well, what is impressive as a
cool
Blu-ray
movie.
Was Bolt. Bolt
was awesome on Blu-ray.
And what's neat about the Blu-ray, it comes bundled with a DVD of the movie. And
yeah,
it
so
has,
you just buy that.
But it has the special features on the Blu-ray, too. I mean, on the DVD in the so you get like you don't get everything that's on the Blu-ray, but you get like the new Rhino short and you get all this other stuff on the Blu-ray on the disc. So if you're sort of trying to dip your toe into the Blu-ray waters, this is a good way to do it because Disney is now doing this with their big releases. Because Bedtime Stories is the same way, Pinocchio was the same way. They're bundling their Blu-rays with the DVD, and that's a brilliant way to do it.
It's very cool. Definitely.
Yeah, and so you get the stuff on the DVD, and then when you finally get around to getting a Blu-ray player, or if you want to get a Blu-ray player and then get a HDTV, because I have learned myself that you can buy them, and it'll
allegedly,
downgrade
to that's possible.
Sony makes a Blu-ray player that'll downgrade to 480. So that's cool. Also, Paramount has come out with two more sort of centennial classics, The Odd Couple and To Catch a Thief.
Oh, and yeah, I got those. Those were okay.
And those, what's neat about those is if you really like the movies, they have a whole separate disc that talks about Paramount at the time they were made and how they went about doing this. And they talk to the surviving cast members because, you know, some of these movies are kind of old. And they talk to, like, the son. Like in The Odd Couple, they talk to Walter Matthau's son, and he talks about the movie. And so, I mean, it's really kind of these are great little sets, a great way to catch up on classic films.
I agree. And you should try and do that as much as possible.
Yes. And so that leads us to our stinker.
Not a classic.
Not a classic film. In fact, it can go down in history as the movie that busted Will Smith's $100 million streak.
Right. You know what?
What?
I really think that if you have a glowing jellyfish in your movie, that's a bad sign.
Yeah. It was a giant Rube Goldberg device. To try and it is this giant house of cards. It's a movie about a guy trying to make amends. For
would
something
you like to throw
happened.
In any other cliche there? Rube Goldberg device, house of cards. It was just a giant contraption of coincidence.
I hate to tell you, but I felt like about this movie the way you felt like about Gigantic.
Yeah, it was pretty offensively bad.
So Stinker.
Sorry, Will Smith.
We got to wrap it up though. Fast and Furious. I gave it a preemptive suck. You just didn't go see it.
No, I didn't. Adventureland, I gave it a kind of rocks, which is the right answer.
And I gave it a kind of sucks, which is the right answer. Flip-flop on Gigantic, I gave it a kind of rocks.
Gigantic is a totally huge, big hole of suck.
Okay, enough. You did your rant in the second segment. Next
Fair
week,
enough.
We've got your favorite movie of all time, Hannah Montana, the movie coming out.
It's
which,
Miley!
Yes, Miley! And Observe and Report, which you've seen. And
yes.
Dragon Ball Evolution, which they're not showing again. Big surprises.
To anyone ever. Yeah. So if you'd like to get a hold of us in between now and then, fatguysthemovies.com has all of your information. With that, we bid you adieu.
Adieu.
I've got recording software. Bam, bam, bam. There we go.